This season of the Good Up Podcast is sponsored by Empath Psychological Services. Good Up is our space to talk about those experiences in life we didn't know we all had in common. We're the after work happy hour conversation with your best friend.
You good up bad, like, hello.
The place where you bring up the hard parts of life, the ones that made you laugh, and the things that made you who you are. Because who said becoming good up wasn't a little bit uncomfortable? Stay tuned for more information about this week's episode.
Here at the Good Up Pod, we're all about shedding light on life experiences that have contributed to who we are and learning to navigate them to find a feeling that's, well, you know, good up.
For some of us, that journey includes therapy. Empath Psychological Services operates with the belief that life's challenges are not all of who we are.
They aim to create a non-judgmental environment to help their clients harness their own power and to find their path to mental well-being. Good Up and Empath Psychological Services share a passion for helping others navigate their own healing their way.
If you're interested in teletherapy services in the U.S. Virgin Islands or the state of Texas, check out the link in the description box for more information on how you can book a session with Empath Psychological Services.
Excuse me. It's been a while. I had to get out, you know, clear my throat.
Yeah.
Get myself together. Is this on?
I don't even know. This thing works?
Is this bitch working? It's been a while.
Somebody turn on my mic.
Right. You know what's funny though? When I was setting up, I said, what the fuck is my mic? I couldn't find my mic. You couldn't find your webcam.
Girl, it was a struggle.
It's been a while. Hello, beautiful people. Hi.
It's so good to be back. Hey, Aiza. Listen, how do you feel?
I mean, physically, we gain there, but mentally, I feel great.
Girl, can we address it? Because what kind of Obia? I feel like people were trying Obia after we at this point.
Y'all, I know you look at your iPhone and you saw the notification and you said, what the fuck? And me too, girl. Me too. Okay.
Same way.
At this point, it's been 6 months, maybe 7 months since our last episode. And Deidre and I were at the point where if we didn't just do this fuck, it wasn't going to happen. Okay.
It just wasn't going to be a podcast no more.
Everything that could get in the way was in the motherfucking way. Okay. And when I say everything, I mean hospitalization. I mean
literal
COVID,
hospitalization.
I mean quitting jobs.
No.
I mean,
hey Aiza, I literally quit my job.
Deidre was like, if I don't quit this fuck, this podcast,
there won't be no,
ain't gonna be no podcast. We don't have good seasons when we try to force it. We've said that
so many times. And I think
we don't have good episodes like that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm most proud of is the fact that we've, in the years that we've been doing this together, we've never forced it, you know? So for us, it was just like, you know what? If this break and just gotta be however long it gotta be, like, and I think the thing that made it more bearable or just easier for us to know that we're coming back was those random posts we would get tagged in where people are like, we just waiting for you.
Yeah, it's so funny because like when we usually when we're on break, I don't do a whole lot on the Good Up socials. And every time I would sign back in, kind of just to check the page and make sure like none of y'all messages going on red or whatever. Like we always have a message from somebody who's like, hey, I miss y'all. Or we always have somebody tagging us in like a who's your favorite podcast kind of thing, especially on Facebook.
Right.
Like the fans on Facebook will go fucking hard whenever somebody will be like,
recommend
a VA podcast. It'll be like, good up.
And we're like, what?
To the point where even on Twitter, because I've been all up in the Twitter spaces for the past couple of months, there's this really like tiny niche like Twitter space VA community. And every time I go in there, I have this one dude who'll be like, oh, look, mama from the Good Up podcast.
Hey.
Like, he always bigging we up. So shout out to you. I know you're listening. But like, people kept us in mind. People kept asking, like, when is the podcast coming back? And I feel y'all, I appreciate y'all for it's like, I were on our ass, but at the same time, it was like with a very
giving us space
and being like, I get you to get your rest. But when I am coming back.
I actually loved it. It was the perfect amount of where the fuck y'all at, but still sprinkled in with whatever y'all are doing, we respect it, and we know y'all gonna come back and just like kill
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So yeah, thank you. So we guys. Back, bitch. We motherfucking we back. Okay, I'm gonna tell y'all how this episode came to be. I was laying in my bed sick, right? I'm scrolling and I see this random clip, I think on like TikTok, and I see this woman say, I knew her body better than mine. And then she started talking about like how she used to study these sex tapes. God. And I said, oh my God, that sounds like Derek Jackson's wife. Like she did the same thing. Is that just a thing that women do? I didn't realize in the moment that that was her because she looked and sounded so different.
Same lady.
Okay.
She take off that bonnet.
Yep.
She take off that bonnet. The way you don't start looking once you get rid of a man.
The glow up be real. It's like you automatically start to glow a little bit more. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, this sounds a lot like what Derek Jackson's wife went through. Like, is this just a thing that some women go through? Like they fully be watching sex tapes of a man with the other woman? Like I was really confused and concerned. So I kept scrolling. And then every few videos, it was like this clip. And then I realized because somebody captioned it with her name and I was like, holy shit. That's Danaya Jackson. I went on YouTube and I did my searches and, you know, I looked for this very churchy YouTube channel that seems kind of misogynistic. And I went and I said, oh, two parts. And I got snacks and I just said, fuck it. I'm finna watch the whole thing, both parts. And halfway into watching the first part, I texted, hey, Isa, and I was like, let's do the first episode about this Danaya Jackson situation.
It's called the Dear Future Wifey podcast, hosted by Lateris R. Whitfield.
The thing about that channel, it sounds like a mecca for pick-me's. Dear Future Wifey?
Dear
Future. I saw that name. I said, get me the fuck out of here. I was so annoyed. And I'm like, sure you gonna watch this shit? It makes sense that she chose that platform, but regardless. So, you know, I got my snacks.
She did not choose the platform, Deidre. God chose it.
She said that
a lot of other platforms reached out to her. Many bigger platforms reached out to her. But God told her to sit and to wait. And when she received a call from Lateris R. Whitfield, God told her to go.
Yes, indeed. Continue. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. So, I plugged in my phone because I knew it would be a long day and I started watching and there were some things to get through that I had to, you know, kind of be like, wasn't ready for that. But halfway through the first episode, I was like, okay, hey, Isa, maybe we should talk about this. And she was like, okay, bet. Yeah. Like,
So Deidre reached out to me. Deidre gave me her synopsis. She basically asked me if I watched the interview. I said, absolutely the fuck not. Because one thing about me, I choose peace very, very intently. This is the funniest part. Did we have this conversation the day I catch COVID? I think we had this conversation the day I catch COVID. We were planning this episode to basically talk more about Derek Jackson, right? And then we ended up having this lengthy conversation about Derek Jackson and men like Derek Jackson who are presenting themselves as pro-woman and feminist and helping you avoid fuckboys and like anti-toxic masculinity. Basically turn out to be the exact men that they preach against.
Men who are like loudly preaching against, you know, patriarchy and all that, I don't trust them. I automatically just don't trust them.
It's sad to say because we want men to not be with the patriarchal bullshit, right? Like we want men to be anti-violence against women. We want men to be anti-toxic masculinity. Men who speak out against it ain't a red flag for me. It's when you make it your identity or your platform.
When it becomes your source of income, that's when it's like a huge red flag. Mm-hmm. There was this one guy on TikTok that I remember following and he was protect Black women. He was just like, it was all the rage for him. That's all he spoke about on there. And then he was exposed for being violently abusive toward his ex-wife and children, like hospitalizations, broken bones, that kind of shit. A woman and children, you know, obviously Derek Jackson was exposed not too long after that. And I just was like, yeah. And the thing that makes it frustrating is because we run into these situations where those men who essentially capitalize on or, you know, who capitalize on the whole black protect black women, anti-misogyny, whatever they tend to grasp at. There's usually men in the comments who are saying, this dude is lying, this dude is a fraud, y'all women are so gullible for believing him. And then all the women who do appreciate the message because it feels nice to be affirmed by somebody.
Would have been in the comments like, bro, fuck you.
Yeah, it would have been them comments defending the fuck out of our, you know, our spokesperson and being like, we always just label them as jealous. And then what happens is we then have to sit back and like wipe the egg off our face when these motherfuckers get exposed for being exactly what. And that's
very embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. So after that shit happened twice, I said, I don't want to hear anything these men have to say. And I even came across a TikTok maybe last year of this man who was like, how come y'all always like responding to or on the platforms of those dudes who to talk shit about women? How come y'all are never, you know, giving energy to those of us who speak highly of y'all or something along those lines?
And you're scary.
Yeah, I stitched it and I pretty much was like, for one, you and the other men that you represent don't show up on our timelines. That's number one. Number two, those of you who do show up on our timelines usually end up getting exposed for being the opposite of what you preach. So we just have a hard time trusting y'all.
And then two, why does it matter to you that you are being platformed and not what it is that you're talking about?
Exactly.
Like, and then, if your goal is to save women and respect women and protect women, then do that. Like, go do
why
that.
Do you need,
but like,
exactly,
you
need, why do you need to
gas you up for it?
Exactly. Why do you need to be credited? And I pretty much ended the stitch by saying, like, I don't believe in congratulating fish for swimming. Like, why do you expect to be congratulated for doing a basic thing? Like, we respect y'all. So why are y'all not just automatically respecting us, but y'all claim to respect us and y'all expect to be congratulated for it, like for treating us like humans? You're supposed to treat us like humans. So sorry. Yeah. Like, keep it like just if you about it, be about it.
So let me ask you this. Upon watching the interview, overall, what was your initial impression? I know you have multiple impressions about this.
Girl, interview. You know one thing about me, I'm like a motherfucking onion. There's layers on top of layers on top of layers. So overall, aside from some of my criticisms, naturally, before I say anything, my heart absolutely goes out to that woman. Let's be clear. Regardless of how much of it could have been avoided, because I, at the end of the day, you know, when you see a jackass, you must write it. And I'm sorry to say that so coldly, but it's true. But my heart does go out to her in many ways. One, because
you just said you're a jackass, but my heart goes out to you.
No,
bitch.
My heart absolutely goes out to her, you know, because she gave up so much of herself.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, so my heart will absolutely go out to her, regardless of anything. She did experience a level of abuse, and just because he never put his hands on she, just because she,
oh, it was absolutely narcissistic abuse, hands down.
It was hands down narcissistic abuse, and so yeah, she's not reporting that he ever like cussed her out or threw things or anything like that. But the fact that he played in her face so aggressively and disrespected her so blatantly, that was absolutely narcissistic abuse.
All of the behaviors that she described, allegedly, because again, this is her perspective of what happened, right? Yeah. We don't actually know, but this is her perspective of what happened. I believe her. Fully fucking believe her. Any man that have me sitting in the living room holding his hand like this while fucking bonnet on, talking about the internet, don't know what they're talking about. You, I'm sorry, you are absolutely,
yo,
like,
my heart
Papa
fully goes out
had
to
a
that
fresh
lady.
Cut. He had a fresh cut. He had a, like, he know he looked good. He had looked like he took time to get ready for that video and had mama sitting, like, she couldn't at least go pull on nothing.
He was
like, we filming this video right now. From the time I see that initial video, I was like, yeah, he's a narcissist. Like,
yeah,
but
that
anyway.
Shit was wild.
So
you're right. Like, none of us are qualified to diagnose him, but we also are smart enough to use deductive reasoning and based on all the traits that go with, at the very least, he has plenty of narcissistic tendencies.
If it looks like a duck
and it quack like a dog,
it's a narcissist. It's a fucking narcissist.
I love you. Oh god, I love you. So yeah, so to answer your question, obviously my heart goes out to her. I feel for her in so many ways. But that does not take away from where there's a level of accountability that needs to be had. But you know, one thing I'm always do is address the fact that a lot of what she experiences because of what she didn't get in her upbringing. Because if the people who were responsible for her when she was coming up taught her her value and her worth, she would never be putting up with that fuck shit. So
yeah, and I will say that the interview, let me tell you something. My initial impression of this interview was that it was handled very irresponsibly, right? It was handled for talking about this level of trauma, for dealing with somebody who is sitting there telling you how much she's gone through with this person. This person is obviously describing abuse. That interviewer, Lateris, this is his fucking name, Lateris. He was very irresponsible. Like,
I feel like anybody in our community who, a man specifically, whose name ends in Russ can't be trusted. Like, Ladarius, Latrarius, whatever, Aquarius.
You just have your name in a U.S. Don't send that to me, Papa.
No, not U.S. R-U-S.
R-U at Russ, specifically.
Ladarius.
Yeah, we can't trust you, Papa. But he really did not handle that interview well. It's on YouTube if you want to go watch it. He was very jokey throughout the interview, right?
Yeah, that was weird to me.
To an extent, I don't empathize with jokey people because if something awkward, I gonna laugh.
Yeah.
If something sad, I laughing. If somebody in the room angry, I fucking giggling in Arcana. Like, I don't laugh for every occasion because laughter is the best medicine and or my way of getting through it without awkwardness.
Can I? You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the things that I made a mental note of while watching it is she's actually really funny.
Aside
from him inappropriately, like, making things funny, she's actually very funny. Mm-hmm. But one thing we all know to be true is that the funniest people tend to have experienced the most trauma.
Yeah.
That jokiness tends to be a coping mechanism. But I agree with you that I feel like he mishandled that interview because that was a real serious topic. And I feel like he kept creating space for it to become like a joke.
And that's why I will say, like, I would counter her being funny with saying I felt like she felt she had to make it funny because there were moments that he would have these like comebacks or be laughing. Like, even it wasn't even like him laughing. There were times where he would talk about something like he asked her if there was additional trauma in her past. And she brought up the fact that she had been sexually assaulted. And he said that he had read a stat that said that 1 in 5 women have been or will be assaulted in their lifetime. And it's something more like 1 in 3 now. But the way he said it was so kind of like casual. There was no extra commentary on like, well, why is that? Like, why are so many of our women experiencing sexual assault? Any other? And I know the interview wasn't about it, but nonetheless, he took such casual approaches to such heavy conversation that I feel like she thought she had to give him these like funny one-liners from the get-go. Like when she started, there was an initial part where she said that she would be in closets like crying because she had just watched videos of her husband having sex with other people. And she was like, I saw you just having sex with such and such and such and such. Like, she listed the people, and his initial response was to laugh. And I'm like,
that's not funny.
It really ain't fun. Like, this girl telling you this man had she in closets.
Crazy. I'm sorry. This is where, and I just, this is going to be so like to the left, but this whole experience and her being on this podcast is a prime example of how the church has failed Black women.
And that was going to be my next question for you is like, what role do you think the Black church plays or church in general plays in sheltering men like this?
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Because I feel like what this woman experienced was not taken seriously enough. And even the reason why I say, like, I feel like the Black church has fully failed the Black woman is because for her, she's saying, oh, God spoke to me and God told me that this is where I have to do it. That wasn't no motherfucking God. That was the brainwashing of the fucking Black church.
It was.
Because obviously if it was God, she would have properly vetted that situation and she would have realized that that might not be the appropriate place for a conversation like that. And obviously it comes down to her commitment to being a Christian, right? And she felt like that platform probably was more in alignment with what she is and who she is. Low key, I feel like Red Table Talk would have ate that shit right up.
Man, I
feel like Red Facebook Table Talk
Watch playing in my fucking face right now.
I feel like God actually wanted her ass to go to Red Table Talk, but you know, the other one on the shoulder said, go to Ladarius.
Ladarius.
Go to Ladarius.
No, I absolutely, the reason I asked you, like, what role do you think the church is playing in protecting men like this is because we listed some of the men that kind of fall into this category earlier, but I think a lot of the new age, like modern black pastors or preachers mm-hmm. or whatever, men who have prominence in churches, who have like these podcasts and these videos and shit like that coming out, they also do this thing where like they speak directly to women, right? And they have these messages that are all about like empowering women and making sure that women feel like they're prepped to be like good wives and this and that. And it's really just repackaged bullshit from like the old time pastors of our youth, exactly. Right? They ain't saying shit different. They just saying it with skinny jeans on with fucking facts. Neon lights in the background in a mega church.
Exactly.
It's not mm-hmm. that different. So it's even different everything about the situation from Derek Jackson to her family failing her to her Christian upbringing and how it influenced the way that she navigated to this situation down to the platform that she chose to tell the story is mm-hmm. all just like evidence of the black church being like, at the end of the day, this is your fault. At the end of the day, you are in full control over everything that happened, but somehow God also is in control, but it's still your fault.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things I noticed that happened a lot, at least because just like you, I could only make it through on the first episode and a half. So I saw all of part one and maybe halfway or three quarters of the way through part two. But one of the things I noticed is her willingness to take accountability, and she almost took too much accountability. She was constantly looking for ways to own where she contributed to this situation. And I'm like, the only thing that you, if you did anything wrong, the only thing you did wrong was take a cheater back. That's it. Other than that, there's really not much for you to be so accountable for. You know what I mean? This man treated you like shit. Like, the man treated you like shit. There's not much for you to take ownership of, but she was doing a lot of that. She was mm-hmm. actually doing a little bit of fucking aerobics to try to take some accountability. And I'm like, babe.
She did a lot of like describing his actions and like describing how he would go about his abuse of her. But there was not a whole lot of like, this is a sign that he is a bad person. This is why yes. he's a bad person. It was always like, I wasn't fully, you know, within myself as a Christian woman. Right? And I would sometimes be in this cycle of toxicity. Like, is the toxicity in a room with us right now, bitch? Because it seemed like it's Derek Jackson. Like,
right. And because granted, yes, it is toxic to sit there and watch this video. And then when he asks you what's wrong, you lie and say that you miss your dad. Is that toxic? Yes. But also we acknowledge that you were doing that because you was afraid to lose your man, because you were trained and indoctrinated to believe that your value is based on having a husband.
Yeah.
The fucking black church failed this girl. Like, what are we, like, what?
And even now, I think there is going, that's the part that'll make me the most sad. So there was something else I texted you the other day, and I haven't actually searched to see like the validity of this, but someone on Twitter accused her of apparently she has like courses or coaching or whatever, and she's charging people exuberant amounts of money to guide them on like navigating infidelity. And I'm like, how do you navigate cheating other than breaking up with somebody?
This is my personal opinion. The thoughts, opinions, views, and choices of Deidre is not a reflection of the podcast, but I'm speaking for myself here. For me, the only way to navigate, there's two ways to navigate cheating. Mm-hmm. Cheat back or leave. Cheat back or leave. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you really like that motherfucker, right? Like, if you really like them and you really enjoy them, and it's like, damn, this nigga cheated on me, but I'm not ready to leave. Honey, I at least cheat him back. Or you, and one of the reasons why I might really, really, really like you is because maybe you're rich, right? So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just turn a blind eye and go like spend his money, something. But what other way is there to navigate Like, I make it make sense.
I don't know. And I couldn't find anything that verifies it. That might have been something somebody said on Twitter. But if she is, I genuinely hope she does some more introspection and realizes, like, baby girl, this is not the career path for you.
It's not. It's not.
It's really not. And I want to be clear here. Like, I understand that there are people, like, I get having religious beliefs. If you attend a Black church, you attend a Black church. If you attend church in general, you attend church in general. But I really think, I think it's time for our community to have a serious conversation on how the Black church especially harms Black women and especially harms LGBTQ plus members of our community. And they do it in such a nice, like, oh, we love you at the end of the day. But like, there's so much fault that they place on the individual for why the individual endures harm. And this is such a good example of that. Like, she literally started the interview. He started the interview by asking her, like, what was her experience, like her religious experience or like the development of her beliefs growing up, because he wanted to make sure they established that she had roots in the church and that that's why she was a guest on his show. But at the end of the day, like, you didn't ask her how the church failed her. You didn't ask her while he was cheating and doing all of this stuff, what was her pastor telling her? What were members of her church telling her? And how were they enabling Derrick Jackson? Because I'm sure other people were fully aware of his behavior. He at no point during this interview did he ask how, what were the other players in this, and how did the church fail you? Like, everything was about God and like, what happened to you and what did you do? Like,
yeah. And because the thing is no matter what, they're never going to see it as any way where the church could have failed her. You see what I'm
because
saying?
Because they refuse to take responsibility.
Yeah. You know, I saw a tweet that disturbed me so much where somebody said dating church girls is so lit because you could cheat on them and then go pray about it and then they'll forgive you and move on, or something really like weird like that. I wish I had screenshotted and I saved it, but it was so like disturbing because I'm like,
yeah,
this is the tomfoolery that's going on in our community. This is what's going on, is this religion really have people thinking that they could just behave however they want and treat people however they want, and simply saying I'm sorry and holding hands and praying is gonna absolve you of being a terrible partner.
You know what I think is interesting, though, and this is going to help us transition the conversation into Jonathan Majors, is that on one side, you have Black women who are like really invested in the Black church and they are indoctrinated to do just that, right? To forgive, to protect Black men, to accept that type of abuse, to continue forgiving in situations of infidelity. If he abuses you, no, he didn't. Like, protect our Black kings, all of that stuff, right? And then on the other hand, you have these more radicalized Black women who are starting to step away from that set of beliefs, which I think fully describes us and this podcast and a lot of our listeners. And when in how we respond to situations like this is very different, right?
Yeah.
So where you will see women who are still kind of involved in that church mentality, or that like, at the end of the day, I want to be a wife mentality, somebody like Derrick Jackson will still have room to gain their forgiveness. Whereas when the Jonathan Majors news had come out, and this was not somebody who was based in a church, like, this was a conversation that was mostly heavily happening on Twitter, where again, a lot of the Black women on Twitter are more on that like radical feminist kind of side. Yeah. Men were surprised to see how quickly the Black women who had been like drooling over this man was like, bye. Like, Black and white, no excuses, no, oh, we don't know the full story. Like, there were some, and it was funny, it was mostly Black men who I saw doing that shit.
Of course, they always want to know the full story.
And let me tell you something about Jonathan Majors, because I was one of them, right? I had loved to see that man. Something about that man, I don't know why it is, Deidre. Something about that man had do something. He had just look. And I scared to even fawn over him in retrospect now, knowing who he is. But he had just looked like he would come home and like cook for me, but at the same time tell me to like sit my ass down somewhere and like I would listen, you know, right? So
you know, everybody has that energy about him, and I never saw it. And it's so funny because I just don't find him to be attractive. And that's not saying, and let's be clear, I don't think he's ugly, but I just have never been attracted to him.
And that's fair. And I'm like, I had an attraction to him. He's definitely my type. I had an attraction to him. I also thought he was an extremely talented actor. Like,
I'll give him that.
Twitter was here for this man. It wasn't even just the physical attributes. It was the fact that he had already proven himself to be an excellent actor. He was getting casted in all of these different movies. And for us, it was like, yo, are we seeing like the new Denzel come to life? Like, are we seeing the birth of the career of another legendary Black actor, right?
Right.
And which this news comes out and we're instantly like, oh, fuck. Like, what is going on? So at first, everybody were kind of like, you know, just like waiting to see what this was about. He was, for at least the first couple of hours when this news started to drop, he was given the benefit of the doubt. I will say that.
He was?
Because he kind of was, because people were just like, the stories that were coming out were very vague. It was kind of like he got arrested for battery. The minute it come out and it was like, it was a domestic situation, Black women was like, all right, let me pack my shit and get the fuck out. Like Viola Davis, and then when she pick up her bag, I was just like,
that's one of my favorite things ever.
Like, it literally was like that, right? And I remember there being such a switch up between, so back when all the women were like fawning over Jonathan Majors, it had this subset of Black men who used to be like, he ain't even all that, and he emasculating Black men, and he wearing pink in his interviews, and da 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 da, and had all this shit that they were basically hating large on this man, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost like we switched places. So when it came out that he was an abuser, the Black women was like, I'm done with that. I don't need to support him anymore. Yeah. And those same Black men who were like kind of jealous, all of a sudden was the biggest fucking Jonathan Majors supporters in the world. And we don't know the full story. And
you know what I saw? I don't know that. I didn't see very many who were saying things like, oh, we don't know the full story. But I weirdly saw some who felt like, oh, well, that's what he get for being with a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was some of that.
It was very disturbing to me, because I'm like, so what you guys are saying is that if he was with a Black woman, it would not have been revealed that he's an abuser.
There was some of that.
The reality is we can't act like that's not true.
And that's the thing.
And that's not saying that all Black women.
The other part of it, too, is that it is the abuse of white women is responded to very differently than the abuse of Black women, right?
Yeah.
Because there were men coming forward to defend him and all of this stuff and protect him and all of that shit. And it was just very interesting to see sort of his rise and fall and like how Black women specifically responded to it.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest disappointment in all of that, bringing it back to like the actual podcast topic, is that Jonathan Majors had presented himself as this man who really respects women, who had all this to say about like, okay, if you think me wearing pink in an interview is like not masculine, okay, you gonna fight me? Like, he would be very nonchalant. And I think that's a part of what made a lot of women attracted to him, was also that, right? They had all this trust for him and all of that shit. So when it was revealed he was an abuser, I was kind of like, fuck, like who ain't trash? Like, another here we one. Go. Who ain't trash? Like, it's scary out here.
I think that's what's getting really difficult right now, is we keep running into this thing where just where we have some hope, it's kind of our bubble gets burst and we're like, well, here we go. Here we go again. You know? And it's like, I feel like we're walking like over time to be hopeful and be positive, you know, because it's like, every time there's somebody that we're like, okay, this person is defying the odds, then, you know, something gets exposed about them.
Something gets exposed. And I think the question I keep asking myself is like, how do we tell the difference between men who want to harm us and men who actually care about us? And then the men who pretend to care about us, but actually are okay with harming us. Like, where is the difference in all of that? And like, how do we as Black women protect ourselves and like navigate that? Like, I don't need Denea Jackson coaching to navigate infidelity. I need to navigate these dudes out here.
Like, hello, because first of all, hey Isa, it's a real good thing you married, because it's bad out here.
Listen.
It's bad.
Listen.
And I don't know how much more of the delusional thing I could do where I'm like, perfect person's out there for me.
I was telling Daima yesterday, God forbid if my marriage fail, I move into a commune. I'm not dating again.
Listen.
I'm not doing it. If you listening to this podcast and you one of my old hoes and you just kind of waiting for the day I become available again, Papa, don't take your dog out of this room. Take them out of this room because I'm not going back to heterosexual men. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm at this point, if there's some sort of science that can alter your sexual orientation, then I will happily volunteer as like a clinical trial or whatever. Cause I'm like, can I just be a lesbian at this point? Can y'all just turn me into a lesbian?
And it's not even to say we can use them for sex, because even in situations where women are getting sexual benefit, it's dangerous for us.
It's so dangerous.
I had to have a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago where I was like, hey, hoes are people too. I don't know if you know.
But hello.
Hoes are people. Even if you have somebody who, okay, that's your hoe, whatever, use a friend with benefits. The key word here is you could treat that person like a human being. You can have a friendship with that person without dating them. You can be kind to them. You can give them consideration. You can communicate with them.
Yeah.
And you could just have sex with them at the same time. Who knows?
Yeah, all those things are very possible. But for some reason, you know, once, you know, and I don't know if this is like a whole, like, I don't know if this is across all men or just our men, but I feel like they genuinely in their heart of hearts believes that once a woman is sexual in any fashion, she's no longer human. Like, yeah. I really feel like, and they say it, oh, her body count's too high. And it's like, sir, if our value drops after being involved with you, then I feel like it says more about you than us.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's like an all men thing or an our men thing. Regardless,
it all goes back to patriarchal standards. And I think it's all men because up to the other day, I even see this video of these two white guys on a podcast talking about how like intimidated they are by black women and basically sexualizing black women and explaining why they don't go after black women sexually or whatever. Right. It's at the end of the day, like the patriarchy is designed to oppress women. Yeah. And I think that all we're talking about, these men who present themselves, like even when they present themselves as anti-patriarchy, they are using patriarchy to get what they want.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Like, they're using it in almost the opposite way. They're saying, oh, hey, yeah, this thing is bad. Like, you I don't know if you ever see the Family Guy episode where Lois, which I think she was running for some kind of office, and she was like, terrorism, and the crowd started going crazy, and they were like, yeah, and then she was like, terrorism, and they were like, yeah, they really don't do that, like,
they just throw out some freaking buzzwords, like,
they throw out these, it's a dog the whistle. Therapy language, they throw out the feminist language. It's very easy to just watch a couple of videos on how the things that black women love about ourselves and the things that we want, and to just mimic that language and regurgitate it and build a platform off of it. And that shit is scary.
It's scary. And it goes to show, I feel like, especially, and I feel like particularly black men do this. And I think a big part of it is because, I'm sorry, I feel like black women's loyalty to black men is kind of causing harm to us. Because look what you just described. They could watch a couple of videos. They could listen to a couple of our podcasts, right? They could hear what we say we require, and then just preach about it. And then next thing you know, there's black women in droves coming to support them. That's how Derek Jackson made his money. I don't know if he ever became a millionaire, but Denea Jackson referenced enjoying the riches, right? Those riches were from who? Black women. Who, because a man was throwing some fucking breadcrumbs out, because really and truly, that man was breadcrumbing all of us, right? He was sitting in his car, just saying things like, ladies. And the girlies...
hate you. If a man don't call you back after a date, he does not respect you. And we just like, yeah.
Yeah, like, we were really accepting the bare motherfucking minimum. That's what we've been saying this whole time. This man was fully breadcrumbing us, okay? And we was buying his books. The girlies were going to speaking engagements, like, and patriarchy is a factor in that, because in our community, somehow men are just supposed to be these revered leaders. And so the minute a man comes out and says something that we, you know, believe, then it's up. And it's wild to me.
But the rise of Derek Jackson and Jonathan Majors and all of these other black men who've had these platforms based off of just saying the right thing, it says so much about how we are often treated by the men in our community, and how desperate I think Black women are, just to be respected and just to be seen. It says so much that somebody could make millions off of saying, hey, ladies, you actually do, you know, you deserve communication. We're just like, oh my God. Yeah, we do. It's,
and it goes, we're not crazy after all.
Yeah, we're not crazy.
It's a certain level of validation that they're providing. It's
validation.
But it's insincere, because you sitting in your car telling us, if he don't text you back, he don't respect you. Meanwhile, you probably parked up at your side bitch house while your wife is at home changing diapers.
In the closet
crying because she just watched another motherfucking sex tape.
Like, it says so much about how much we are lacking from our men. And if a man listening to this podcast and saying, well, what do you want us to do? Like, the bare minimum is all I ask. I'm not asking for that.
I'm not asking for the motherfucking bare minimum. I want everything. And if you don't have it for me, then keep fucking stepping, bitch.
But what I am saying, I'm not saying in dating. I'm saying as a community, the bare minimum is that you respect us and you see us as human. That's, you could go up from there. You have plenty of room to improve from there. But we are in the place that we're in because I don't even give us that for the most part. Like, as a whole, as a demographic, you don't do that. So because you don't do that, it's easy for the men who pretend to build these platforms and gain all this notoriety. And bamboozle us. Yeah. In dating, hell no. I'm not expecting the bare minimum. Respect.
But what? Even in the community, I don't want the bare minimum. If the bare minimum is all you can give me, I don't fucking want it. You can keep it. For me, because I give everything and I deserve everything. So if all, as a community, if all they have to give us is the bare minimum, I don't want it. I'm going to stay in my little bubble. I'm going to raise my son to know to give the women of our community. I just give women in general, but especially the women in our community. I'm going to teach him and raise him to make sure that he understands that the standard is everything, because Black women are everything. But sir, whether you're my brother, my uncle, a nigga who's trying to fuck, or the motherfucking dude bagging my groceries, if all you have to offer respect-wise to the women who keep you alive is the bare minimum, you can keep it. I don't want it.
You know what? That's actually fair. That is very fair.
Like, I'm fully done.
I am fully willing to admit that I was wrong, because you're right.
When every single time a Black man is gunned down, when we see images of protests, who the fuck is in the front, face to face, squaring up with a motherfucking police?
Black women.
Fuck that. If y'all only have the bare minimum, keep that shit. We don't want it.
We are rearing your children. We are raising them in community. We are leading the social justice causes, because the reason we even out here talking about any kind of feminism, any kind of progressiveness when it comes to the LGBTQ+ community is because of Black women and Black trans women. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
It's us leading the charge here. So if all you can give me is to see me as human and give me basic respect, then you're right. It's not enough.
It's not enough.
The way that I see y'all jump up behind these men who harm women, who harm Black women specifically, and try to defend them and make it seem like we have responsibility in the violence that we face. And I gonna say it, like, it don't make a difference to me if you are a person on Twitter defending Tory Lanez or if you are the podcast host of this podcast that Denea Jackson was on and you giggling your way through the fact that she's describing her abuse at the hands of a Black man. It's the same to me, because it tells me that you don't take the harm that we face seriously. And
yes, because you think we can handle it.
You think we can handle it and you think it's our fault. At the end of the day, you're going to always think it's our fault. And that's crazy.
That's wild to me. That's so wild to me. I was sitting there listening to that and I was disgusted. Now, remember earlier I said there still does need to be a level of accountability for her. The reason why I couldn't get through the rest of that interview was because she is one of the toxic members of the Black church. Period.
Yeah.
One of the things that she experienced when she was initially going through her thing was she was on the internet cussing. She fully was putting a curse on the internet, right?
A helmet of salvation.
Yes. That was not a bonnet, honey. In any case. So she fully came on the internet and put a curse on everybody, right? Which, girl, do whatever works for you. But the thing that really just made me say, okay, you are willing to take accountability to protect this man who's done harm to you. but you're not willing to acknowledge where, okay, maybe you took a misstep. Aquarius, whatever his name is, he kind of wanted to address the curse that she put on the whole internet. And she was very much, I said what I said. Mm-hmm. It was very much, oh, they clearly don't read their Bibles because that was a scripture in the Bible and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And she was making light of it. And she was making light of the fact that she fully believes in using the word of God to essentially to wish harm on others. Because and, I'm sorry. And
she was wishing harm on the wrong people. Like
on the wrong
people. At no point in that interview did she acknowledge that she's upset with him. That she's hurt by him. Against him.
I am hurt because the man who I trusted, the man who I fucking risked my life and bore children for, like the man who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, she never once expressed that she was angry at him. You know what I mean? And so she's sitting there and she's justifying. And granted, hey, listen, for the Christians, do what you got to do. If you like it, I love it. Right? I get it. It's in the Bible, right? And her whole argument was it is in the Bible. They clearly don't read their Bibles. First of all, not everybody is Christian. Secondly, the Bible got mad spells in that motherfucker. Okay, I'm a witch, I could tell you. The Bible does have a lot of spells in it, but regardless, you're taking something so literal, and some things from the Bible, you know, I just feel like the whole Bible needs to be disregarded, but regardless, some things from the Bible just do need to be disregarded. And you telling me
it's not even that, it's
wishing harm on people and their children. And her
just wishing harm on people and their children, and it's deflecting off of like a very real scenario that had nothing to do with the Bible or with your religion, and everything to do with a man who was a narcissist and was cheating on you. Like
who mistreated you. And then that's the thing, because you said the right thing is she's mad at all the wrong people. Yeah. You over here mad at the internet for having commentary. Baby, the internet got commentary because you sat on the motherfucking internet with your bonnet. You didn't stand up for yourself and tell that nigga, well, let me just fucking take out my twist out at the very least. You sat there, you let that man decide for you that y'all gonna address his fuck shit. You looked crazy. Granted, everybody was wrong for pretty much being like, well, of course he cheated on her. Look at how she looked. That was fucked up. Y'all ain't shit for that. However, comma, baby girl, you could have left their babies up out of it. You gonna wish like lupus on the... What does she wish on the children? Sores or whatever she wished. Baby girl, memorize that scripture, honey.
And I get it. I mean, I don't get it. But to an extent, like... When it comes to going viral and for anything and people coming at you and people commenting on your life, people get defensive. And she said all of that shit. And I was hoping that she would take some accountability for that and be like, maybe I responded a bit extremely. But at the end of the day, like, this is somebody who believes that the Bible is a one-size-fits-all manual for life and for every scenario that comes up in life. And it, again, goes back to the church and how the church is putting this responsibility in your hands, and you are the defender of the scripture, and you're this and you're that. And it's interesting how these people contradict themselves. It's interesting how they will use this scripture and everything that they're being taught in church as just this way to deflect from the real problem. And as long as she continues within that mentality, like it's sad. She talked about the fact that she had been in therapy multiple times and all of that stuff. And I'm like, well, which therapist are you going to? And why did your therapist never tell you, like, hey, religion is great. Your spirituality is your spirituality, but right now that don't have shit to do with the fact that like you endured years of abuse.
Yeah,
by somebody.
And you need to unpack that.
And you need to unpack that, and you need to not be on this podcast talking about like this podcast is not the place to do it. Like,
yeah,
you are not.
Can I be honest? I don't think she's been in therapy, and if she has been in therapy, I think she was with a Christian counselor.
Yeah, because she said she was. She said that she went to multiple therapists. She said she went through three therapists.
Oh yeah, she did say she had three therapists.
And when she said that, the host laughed, and he was like, "Why did you need three?" And he was like, "Did you?" Yeah, he was like, "Why did you need three?"
I remember that. No. I remember, and I was so like weirded out by that.
She basically said something. He said, "So with the three therapists, if one didn't work, did you go find another?" And she said yes. And the minute she said it, I was like, I wonder why the initial therapist didn't work, and I wonder which one you ended up with.
She ended up with a Christian counselor who pretty much found ways to make pretty much found ways for him, for Derek to just be a man. He's just a man.
He's just that way. Listen, the moral of the story in this episode is y'all need to make sure that you are not out here applauding people for calling fucking spades. Like, stop applauding people for the bare ass minimum. These men out here are wolves in feminist clothing, and having feminist ideologies and being like, respect women is not enough reason for y'all to be like, oh my God, here's my pussy and my money. Like, it's not enough. Respect yourself. It's stand weird. Up.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have to pay for a person to respect me as a person. You know what I mean? I don't need a book.
It goes
from
back
you,
to
sir.
The motivational speaker thing. Like, if somebody says something that makes you feel good, great. But do they need your coin, your hard-earned dollar, for them to say state the obvious, for them to state things that sound pretty in therapy language? Like, we need to have a bit more discernment about the people that we're platforming, especially when they're men, because I'm sorry, the patriarchy is still out here. It's still out here. And whether they're using it as if some of them are using it to their benefit and some of them using it to their benefit, pretending that it's for your benefit. Like,
oh yes, honey. So, oh yes, honey. Come on.
Keep your eyes open, bitches.
Hey. Girl, this was
good.
We
leave for 6 months and I'm out here tripping,
doing the most. But listen, I hope that fear of running out of shit to talk about is gone, because baby girl,
it's not. Honestly, I had that fear because I was going through some writer's block with planning out the season, and right now I have 18 episodes on our list. So that's not to say I'll gain 18 episodes this season.
You know, I really hope that we could do like. I really kind of want us to like do an episode kind of like recapping like a show of some kind, or just
that's bonus.
Should we do
content,
a Queen Charlotte?
That's bonus content, girl.
Shout out to our patrons. We love
patrons.
Y'all.
Get that, girl.
Speaking of the patrons, I just need to address that last season, was it the last episode where I had my meltdown before we started recording? I'm going to tell y'all a little story, honey, because last season, the day we recorded the last episode, I had a full meltdown right before we hit record, because my office space it's a sizable office, but it's also very tiny for the amount of jobs I do out of it, right? And so during podcast season, I would have to pull out my ring light and hook my mic to my desk, and I would have to turn it into a studio, and then it got really crowded and tight, and then I would have to come in and shimmy and squeeze and hook myself around, and it got really uncomfortable. And I was like, hey, and then I was in the throes of like this new full-time job that was demanding this management position I was doing the most, and I just was losing my shit. I was like, this is uncomfortable. You know, I don't like sacrificing my comfort. Like, I just can't keep doing this. And
just said, if I can't figure this out, I'm gonna have to step away from the podcast. And I just look at she like,
hey, I was sitting there. Hey, I think such a good partner, because she really let me get those feelings out. I was really venting from a very emotional place, and she just sitting there like, no worries, mama. Like, I get it. Y'all, shout out to the patrons, because hey, I just send me this little contraption, right?
Yeah, the patrons like, paid for a new setup,
and y'all
for
paid for this shit. Shout out to our patrons. It's like, I'm gonna take a picture and like put it on our IG story. It's so lit. It's like this thing on wheels. It have a ring light attached, the mic is attached to it, it's got a thing to hold my laptop, it's got like all these different like arms. It's so cool. And then I could just roll it around my office wherever I want. And then if I just don't feel like seeing my equipment, because I just want my office, because y'all see my trees and shit up in here, right? If I just really wanted to feel very witchy and vibey, and I just want to vibe out with my crystals, girls, I could just roll this thing out the office and close the door and pretend I'm not a podcaster. Yeah, this was good though. Yeah. I missed you, hey Isa.
I've missed you too. It's good to be back in the proverbial studio. It feels good to be back on you all's speaker. I don't know why you listening to us. We are looking forward to a wonderful season with you all. Shout out to everyone on Patreon who's supporting us. If you want to help keep the motherfucking lights on in this bitch, it's patreon.com/go-to-podcast. You can join for as little as $1. We don't tier our content, so you get access to bonus content, whether you are a dollar level Patreon or whether you are investing $30 a month. So we believe in equity in this bitch. We are on Instagram at GoToPod. We're on Twitter at GoToPod. And of course, if you become a patron, you could join our GoToP VIP section over on Facebook and on Patreon. We love them bad. We about to reactivate that group. They don't even know what's coming. Like, y'all, when I mean we recording this, I ain't tell nobody.
Yeah, like you guys, I mean, at this point, I'm sure the comments gonna be crazy because we literally just decided, hey, you know what? When we come back, let's just do a Beyonce and just drop it.
And when speaking I mean just of, drop it, I mean this episode dropping for the Patreons and for the audience on the same day. I mean telling nobody. Anyway, I say this all to say, you know how Miley Cyrus to come out and be like, they try to take out you, mother bitch. They try to fucking kill me. But we back, bitch.
We back and we ain't going nowhere. And let me tell y'all something. No matter how long our breaks are, this might be the only time we take such a long break.
I am not like some Ayofada. If I say I'm coming back, I'm coming back.
We coming back with the motherfucking milk. It might be spoiled, but we coming back.
I'm so sorry to those of you whose fathers
did. I'm so sorry. That was
sorry. That was uncalled for. I'm sorry. I recognize what I have done too you. Much.
You're such a
I am sorry. I recognize when I have said too much and when I have gone over the line. And telling the audience that Samaya that you know what? But Samaya fathers didn't come back. It's the truth. And I mean you every should. Word.
Tell
the people and bye.
Oh shit. Okay. Bye.
This season of the Good Up Podcast is sponsored by Empath Psychological Services. The Good Up Podcast is Black woman hosted and produced by Deidre Ritter and Heiza Quinones Ivory. Find us on all social media platforms at Good Up Pod. Tag us using the hashtag Good Up Tuesday and join the VIP section over on Patreon for exclusive bonus content at patreon.com/goodup podcast.